More changes occurred in December 1990 than in all the previous years of my life combined. For some, those were the days in which history came to an end. It did not feel like the end, nor did it feel like a new beginning, at least not immediately. More like the rise of a discredited prophet who had foretold calamities that all dreaded, but no one believed. We had spent decades preparing for assault, planning for nuclear war, designing bunkers, suppressing dissent, anticipating the words of counter-revolution, imagining the contours of its face. We strove to grasp the power of our enemies, to reverse their rhetoric, resist their efforts to corrupt us and match their weapons. But when the enemy eventually materialized, it looked too much like ourselves. We had no categories to describe what occurred, no definition to capture what we had lost and what we gained in its place. We had been warned that the dictatorship of the proletariat was always under threat by the dictatorship of the bourgeoisie. What we did not anticipate was that the first victim of that conflict, the clearest sign of victory, would be the disappearance of those very terms: dictatorship, proletariat, bourgeoisie. They were no longer part of our vocabulary. Before the withering away of the state, the language with which to articulate that aspiration itself withered away. Socialism, the society we lived under, was gone. Communism, the society we aspired to create, where class conflict would disappear and the free abilities of each would be fully developed, was gone too. It was gone not only as an ideal, not only as a system of rule, but also as a category of thought. Only one word was left: freedom. It featured in every speech on television, in every slogan barked out in rage on the streets. When freedom finally arrived, it was like a dish served frozen. We chewed little, swallowed fast, and remained hungry. Some wondered if we had been given leftovers. Others noted they were simply called starters. In the days and months leading up to December 1990, I walked to school, sat in my classroom, played on the street, shared meals with my family, listened to the radio and watched television, just as I had done every other day of my life. The same acts and the desires and beliefs of those who undertook them would later be remembered with radically different meanings. We would speak of courageous gestures, timely decisions, and mature reactions to challenging circumstances. Scenarios that would have been considered wild fantasies up to that point later acquired the features of strict necessity. We could not contemplate failure. Failure was the shore from which we sailed. It could not be the port where we arrived. Yet, all I remember from that time is fear, confusion, hesitation. We used the term freedom to talk about an ideal that had finally materialized, just as we had done in the past. But things changed so much that it would be difficult to say later if it was the same we. For half a century, everyone had shared the same structure of cooperation and oppression, occupying social roles that would now all have to be different, while the men and women performing these roles remained the same. Relatives, neighbors, colleagues had both fought and supported one another, cultivated mutual suspicion while developing bonds of trust. The same people who had spied on each other had also provided protective cover. Prison guards had been prisoners. Victims had been perpetrators. I will never know if the working classes who paraded on 1st May were the same who protested in early December. I will never know who I would have been if I had posed different questions, or if my questions had been answered differently or not answered at all. Things were one way, and then they were another. I was someone, then I became someone else.